In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, March 6, 2015. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. It's a generational vision, but it's the wrong vision. The FBI and Homeland Security Department have issued a statement noting concern over young children wanting to fight for the Muslim terrorist group ISIS. Vice News finds instances of parental training in jihad among Muslim converts. One ISIS leader is featured in a video saying, quote, "We believe that this generation of children is the generation of the caliphate. This generation will fight infidels," unquote. An ISIS preacher from Belgium is filmed catechizing his son on the benefits of killing infidels. "But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, and bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The Christian Worldview Film Festival takes place next week in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at ChristianWorldviewFilmFestival.com. This year, they will feature 50 films and 40 workshops on film crafting from a biblical worldview perspective. Nominated feature films include Polycarp, Adrenaline, A Horse Called Bear, Christmas for a Dollar, Princess Cut, and Love Covers All. Festival director Philip Telfer says the event is family-friendly and Christ-centered, and a great alternative to what you get in Hollywood.
This film festival is an outreach of the Ministry Media Talk 101, and our mission statement for that is to use the topic of media choices as a platform to communicate to others about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. We really want to create a platform to encourage people to glorify God in their life, and especially through film.
The mandatory vaccine police are on the march nationwide. State legislatures from Oregon, Washington, California, and Vermont are considering a complete ban on all non-medical exemptions. Already, Mississippi and Virginia have dismissed personal and religious exemptions. According to the Centers for Disease Control, there have been zero deaths resulting from measles in the last decade. The CDC also reports 69 deaths following receipt of a measles vaccine over the same time frame. "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions challenged EPA Chairperson Gina McCarthy on climate change data in a recent congressional hearing. Senator Sessions told the EPA head, quote, "This is a stunning development that the head of the Environmental Protection Agency, who should know more than anybody else in the world, who is imposing hundreds of billions of dollars in cost to prevent this climate temperature increase, doesn't know whether their projections have been right or wrong," unquote. The EPA is now requesting a 6% budget increase, or $8.6 billion more for 2015. Survivors of the Boston Marathon bombing testified in a Boston courthouse yesterday in the murder trial of Johar Tsarnaev. One of the victims, Rebecca Gregory, called the accused a coward and spoke of how the bombing had injured herself and her son. Tsarnaev has pled not guilty to 30 counts, 17 of which could bring the death penalty. "Whoever strikes a man so that he dies shall be put to death. At the mouth of two or three witnesses shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death." Police in North Carolina are investigating a $5 million gold heist from an armed transport vehicle last Sunday. Media reports indicate that it may have been an inside job. A number of sheriff's departments and prosecutors from Colorado, Nebraska, and Kansas are taking Colorado to court over its decision to legalize marijuana. They argue that legalization violates the Supremacy Clause in the U.S. Constitution. Sheriff Chad Day from Yuma County says this state law puts him and his deputies in an untenable position.
"There are legitimate legal questions that need to be asked. So, you know, this is not an emotional decision for us. This is not just some people who are displeased with what happened. We are legitimately in an untenable situation where we're forced to violate a piece of law no matter what we do. And we need some direction from the courts to get past that."
The hand of God prevented a major accident at New York's LaGuardia Airport Thursday. Delta Flight 1068 skidded off the runway on landing at 11 a.m. and stopped just short of sliding into icy waters. All 127 passengers and five crew members are safe. Praise God for his protection. Do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? The UK Telegraph reports on a young man saved by a sea lion in the San Francisco Bay. In an attempt to commit suicide, Kevin Hines jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge in 2000. He survived the fall. By God's providential direction, a sea lion kept him afloat until he was rescued by the Coast Guard. Hines told the Telegraph, quote, "Everyone who looked down saw this creature circling in a clockwise motion beneath me. So they saw me laying atop the water and being bumped. This thing beneath me did not stop or did not go away until I heard the boat behind me," unquote. And to Elijah, God said, "You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and lived by the brook Cherith, that is east of the Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes, this Friday, March 6, 2015. I'm Adam McManus.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado, where we bring a distinctively biblical flavor to things in a rather unbiblical world, a brave new world where crazy things are happening in our world today. Lots to cover on this edition of the program. Bill Jack, also in studio today.
In the safe room.
To comment on some of the crazy stuff happening. Now, you know, occasionally, we like to pass by the zoo and take a look at what's going on in the asylum, and that's what we're going to do today, Bill. First story here today is the bakery in Indiana is closing because they refuse to make a cake for a homosexual wedding. This is 111 Cakery. Drew protests last year after the business's Christian owners declined a request from the homosexual to make a cake for his same-sex wedding. Randy McGough, 48 years old, who co-owns the bakery, told USA Today that the business was still profitable, but his wife, who did most of the baking, wanted to spend more time with their four grandchildren, and so on it goes. Well, not the only business going out of business. The Oregon bakery went out of business as well, as you know, and this kind of thing is continuing. Thankfully, there is a bill in the Colorado legislature that is supposed to protect the rights or the freedoms of business owners to deny service, if they want to, based upon their religious convictions.
That's right. Representative Gordon Klingenschmidt from Colorado Springs District.
Yes.
Has proposed this bill. It's House Bill 1161, and it will be heard on Monday in the Veterans Affairs Committee. Unfortunately, the Veterans Affairs Committee is known as the kill committee.
Mm-hmm.
That's where bills go to die because mm-hmm. they don't want them on the House floor. So, but if people want to testify or they want to go see that, it's at 1:30 on Monday. Hopefully that they will be able to comment on this and they can contact the committee members, even if they can't go testify. They can go contact committee members by looking on the website, the colorado.gov website, and see the Veterans Affairs Committee members and write them. And I encourage people to be activists about this because the other side, those in opposition to truth and grace, are extremely activist in all areas of culture, from trying to intimidate and bully bakeries, photographers, into kowtowing to an agenda which is evil, which is anti-biblical,
mm-hmm.
to legislation that is seeking to curtail Christians speaking in the marketplace.
If we just had the commitment of the other side.
Yes.
You know, if we just had the chutzpah, the courage, the commitment, the epistemological self-consciousness that this word is true and that there is a significant, important distinction between good and evil as established by God himself. If we believed in God, like they believed in sex, wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't Christians would apply a full court press everywhere?
Yeah.
They would. They would have the faith to get out there and be David to Goliath, despite the incredible force against
them. But Kevin, that's all we're looking for, are a few Davids. We're kind of like the Marines.
Sure.
We're looking for a few committed Christians who are willing to stand, and we should be encouraged because where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. And Christians need to stand and speak wherever they are.
Yeah.
And we should not cower in a corner. The disciples, the apostles said, to the general public, to the Sanhedrin. These things were not done in a corner.
Yeah. And people say, well, you're talking about ethics now. You're not talking about gospel. Well, let me just say this.
Everything's the gospel.
Peter was talking about ethics when he stood up and said, you know what? You guys committed murder. Okay? And that's an ethical statement right there.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most politically incorrect ethical statement he could have made before the Sanhedrin.
What did they do to Stephen? All Stephen did was recount the history of Israel, and then he said, Jesus is the one. Stuck their fingers in their ears. They go, la, 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 and then they picked up stones.
And remember, the last thing they said was, you guys have done a lot of murder. You've murdered every prophet. In fact, did you forget to murder a prophet? I can kind of remember. I think you got all of them, didn't you?
Yeah.
When it came down to murdering every servant God ever sent, it seems like you guys accomplished it. And he was in their face with their sin. And, of course, pointing them to the Messiah at the very end.
You know, Jesus and the Samaritan woman, most Jews walked around Samaria. They didn't go through Samaria. Jesus was deliberate. He was intentional. He went through Samaria. He didn't find out the woman's sin in the course of the conversation. He knew it and confronted her with it immediately. That was intentional. When Jesus drove the money changers out of the temple, he sat down and braided a whip. He was intentional. He wasn't carried away by his emotion. He was intentional. Christians need to be intentional. And unfortunately, as the next story points out, what we have become are, well, cowering in a corner, placating the opposition.
Yeah, right. Faithless. Yes. Faithless to think that the gospel can address the most potent sins of the day. Charisma News comes out with this article, Megachurch Pastor Prayerfully Allows Gays into Leadership.
Let me pray about this story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I prayed about this, and he's wrong.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, you know, hey, number
one. Where is this?
Number one. This is down on the Bible Belt. In fact, I've used this term before on the program. The Bible Belt is coming unbuckled.
Yes, it is.
And that's why it's so important. The heartland in America right now turning apostate. And that's what happened when Carrie Underwood turned apostate and began to teach and proclaim on Twitter, et cetera, pro-homosexual, pro-same-sex marriage stance, as does Casey Musgrave in her Follow Your Arrow, which received Album of the Year, two or three award ceremonies last year. The Bible Belt is coming unbuckled when country music and the heartland says, you know what? We're all about Nero. We're all about whatever was happening in Gibeah. We're all about Sodom and Gomorrah. We love whatever is opposed to the ethical stand of Christ and his word. We are against the word of God. And then when you get Carrie Underwood's pastor coming out, this guy's Pastor Stan Mitchell, and using, of course, religious language to pretend like this is all okay with God. You know, again, religious language can be used to equivocate. And you know, again, there's a pretense of religiosity in American religious language. I think we need to be able to see through all of this, Bill.
Woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Yeah, yeah. And the Pharisees had the language down.
Yeah, they did.
They understood the language. They knew the Old Testament. Hey, they had entire systems of seminaries and etc.
They were the keepers of the law.
Yeah. And Jesus said, you guys aren't getting to the very core issues in the law. Let's bring that law back out. Let's examine it. And sure enough, at every point, they're missing the intent of the law of God in the Old Testament. That's what Jesus is doing in Matthew 5, 6, 7, and 15, so forth. Jesus is bringing out the law of God. You talk about somebody who was into the law of God and putting it into the face of the populace at that time. That was the ministry of Jesus Christ. He did that, and he did it well. Well, evidently this man's saying he's prayerfully allowing gays into leadership. He's praying to a God of some sort. He's praying to a God. I'm not denying the fact that Pastor Stan Mitchell prays to some god or gods. But I'm here to tell you, if he's getting the message, God's pro-homosexual, put him into leadership, he's talking to the wrong god.
Right. It's not the God of the Bible. You know, this issue is roiling through the culture. It is steamrolling the culture. In fact, the legal director of the Colorado chapter of the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, said this, that bakers should not be required to put obscenities on cakes. That's a direct quote. Now, what obscenities was he referring to? He
referred to the Bible.
The verses that I requested on a cake and resulted in a claim.
You're kidding me. So you're saying as an official, state official in Colorado.
ACLU official.
Or ACLU. Specifically said that the Bible or Bible verses, and you were referring to Bible verses, are obscene.
Obscenity.
Okay.
So now Christians need to wake up.
That's very Orwellian.
Yes.
Right? Truth is error.
Yes.
War is peace.
Yeah.
That's very Orwellian. We are living in the Brave New World, the Orwellian world of 1984, my friends. This is an indication of that. That's startling.
Yes.
I had no idea.
That needs to be preached in every pulpit around the country, that the Bible is now considered to be an obscenity in public.
Yes. And, of course, obscene to the humanist mind, who has been indoctrinated well in the temples of humanism, ergo, public schools and the university. All right, friends, in just a moment, talking about the brave new world, scientists are growing the organs of aborted babies in animals. Okay, we're talking Nazi doctors next on the Generations Radio broadcast. Be back in just a moment. The mark of a good father, according to Jesus in Matthew 7:11, is that he knows how to give good gifts to his children. He would not give his child a stone or a serpent. He would give him that which is nutritious and helpful. Now, Christian parents, if you're like me, you are constantly on the search for good gifts for your children. You're probably tired of cheap China junk and expensive toys that break within a month or two. That's why the Generation staff has spent the last 6 months scouring magazines, checking out samples, interviewing Christian parents, and identifying the very best books for our children. We look for creative presentation, substantive messages, biblical integrity, identifiable characters, and riveting stories. We have sponsored a child picture book contest called Nurturing Little Hearts, and we begin to publish the very best of children's books over the next year or two. But find good gifts for your children. That's a really good thing. We have an entire new section of children's book selections at our website for good gifts that you can get for your kids. Find it at generationswithvision.com. That's generationswithvision.com. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, as we update you as to what is going on in a brave new world. A world that is very much apostate. No question in my mind why we wind up where we are today. Friends, it's the 19th century. Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, Friedrich Nietzsche. This is what sets us to the insanity of the modern world. The insane things we discuss on this program, altogether new in some ways, new expressions of some of the most foul humanist doctrine you could imagine. And here is an example of that happening in Redwood City, California. It's a company called Ganogen, where scientists are growing kidneys of aborted babies in animals. This is actually from WorldNet Daily. That's where I picked it up. And Bob Unruh brings this story to the forefront. I'm glad he did, because I think we need to point it out when the Nazi doctors begin to surface, wherever they begin to surface. And here's an instance in which that happens. Science publications are hailing research breakthroughs in a new life-saving procedure that harvests the organs of aborted children, transplants them in animals where they can grow and then be available to patients. The Genetic Literacy Project website calls the process xenotransplantation and suggests the biggest question would be, would you accept an organ from a pig, cow, baboon, or chimpanzee to save your child's life or your own? So this isn't just an isolated company. We're talking big, important scientific organizations backing the research happening here in Redwood City. I went to the Ganogen website, and I read from their website what they're doing. By the way, a video by Ganogen glosses over the source of the organs by euphemistically calling the organs discarded. So that's all they're saying. It's just, we found these discarded organs,
and were using them.
They were out on the street, in the gutter, and we just picked them up.
Yeah, exactly. Now, here's what the website said. These are chilling words. I want you to be sure you're seated, friends, as you listen to this, perhaps a glass of water close by, in case you feel a little faint. Here's what they say. They're very explicit. This front page of their website. Go to Ganogen. You'll find it. It's right there. First thing that comes up. We have found a way to successfully transplant human fetal kidneys, livers, hearts, and lungs, and other organs into animal hosts using advanced microsurgery. We also use our patented medical device, the arterial flow regulator, to make the fetal organ compatible for transplantation into the regulator to make the fetal organ. They're not denying the fact this is a human organ. This came from a baby. The fetal organ compatible for transplantation into the adult animal host. After transplantation, the fetal organ continues to grow and mature in the animal. Doesn't say in the animal, but that's what they're saying. It even demonstrates function, and in the case of the kidney, can keep the host animal alive all on its own. For adult patients, now listen, on dialysis with end-stage renal disease, we hope to grow and mature human fetal kidneys in immunocompromised pigs until the organs reach an appropriate adult size. Then we will transplant the organ into a human patient. Then we will abort every child conceived with Down syndrome and provide their kidneys, livers, and hearts to rich people who are real contributors to human society.
What?
I added that part.
I thought you did.
I did. But that's what they're saying. You know that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
I added the last paragraph to this paragraph. Of course. That's the idea. Friends, this is the brave new world. You've seen this in movies and films, science fiction films. You've seen that hosts are cultivated of the lesser breeds in order to allow for the richer and more successful and more effective members of society to live a little bit longer. They might get another year or two off of the organ donations of these poor human hosts. Friends, that's what we're talking about here. This is the brave new world. And it doesn't matter if you're talking about a white-coated PhD. That doesn't purify his motives. I think people have the impression, well, this is science. These guys know what they're doing. Well, hey, that's what the Nazi doctors were doing, sewing twins together, bone transplantation from one person to another, sections of bones, muscles, and nerves were removed from the subject without use of anesthesia. They had freezing experiments where they take a couple hundred kids and freeze them for a period of time to see if they'd survive. Malaria experiments, mustard gas experiments. That's what the Nazi doctors are doing. And the rest of society accepted it. And very few, very precious few people. I think there was WorldNet Daily commented on the Nazi doctors in 1943. And I think there was a Generations radio program airing from some basement somewhere on the eastern plains of Germany. I think there were a few people who had the guts to stand out and say, this is definitively wrong, wrong, wrong. This is sick. This is utterly sick. And these are Nazi doctors. They ought to be brought into court and charges brought against them for inhuman, wicked, murderous deeds inflicted upon human beings.
It's reminiscent of that 1978 film Coma, in which a hospital does exactly these things, and they keep it under wraps. Now, at that time, it was shocking, but now they're coming out on the front page of their websites and saying it. On the front page of Ganogen's website, it says, with the advent of targeted drugs and personalized medicine, the differences between mice and men can no longer be ignored.
Oh, no.
Mice and men. We are nothing more than animals, so why not treat us as animals? Why not harvest us like animals?
Yeah.
You see?
Yep. People are evil. I think, friends, you need to understand. Okay. Why? Why Ganogen? Why the Nazi doctors sewing twins together, removing nerves, muscles, bones from subjects without the use of anesthesia? Why? Why? Because here's why. Because people are very, very evil. There's something very, very wrong with Ganogen Company. Nick Chang, Eugene Gu, some of the scientists featured prominently on the front page of the Ganogen website. Something very, very wrong. Very wrong. Very wrong. scary wrong.
But see,
now, they wouldn't want to admit that there's something wrong with them. There's something very, very wrong with them, Bill. But there's something very, very wrong with all of us.
Yes. Let me think. It's in our genes. It's genetic.
It goes way back to grandpa.
It's inheritable.
Great, great, great grandpa.
Adam.
I think it was Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Abraham, but it goes
back to
Adam.
No, it goes back to Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm.
The potential of evil, the evil that men can do, and the accompanying justification, because it always comes with justification. You know, you're always going to get, there's a higher reason for what we're doing, Then sure, the Nazi doctors thought they were in the right.
It's utilitarianism.
You know, they thought they were in the right.
Yeah.
As do Nick Chang and Eugene Gu. The potential of the evil that men can do and the accompanying justification is mind-blowing. Mind-blowing.
Never underestimate the depths of one's own depravity.
Yeah.
I had a pastor preach a sermon on that. Do not underestimate the depths of your own depravity.
Yeah. Charles Bronson had a movie, came out in the 70s, called The Evil That Men Can Do.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. And it was just kind of plumbing the depths of it. I can't remember the movie. Probably wasn't a very good movie, but
no.
the depths of the evil that men can do is mind-blowing. And here's the thing that's the scariest thing of them all, is that this website is up there, and hundreds and thousands of people are visiting that website right now. They're saying, cool. That's what they're saying. They're saying, cool.
I debated a prof in Minnesota a few years ago, and this prof had severe arthritis, and we got on this topic of you know, abortion and using aborted babies. And he said, I want my hands back. I don't care what it takes. I want my hands back. And I'm going, that's the problem.
Yeah. I don't care how many people I kill.
No.
Bring this about.
No, because it's all self-centeredness.
It's getting your foot in somebody else's face. That's the idea behind Nietzsche's morality, master morality. That's Nietzsche, the mastermind behind psychology today. And the mastermind behind the university today, and the mastermind behind the Nazi thing and all the rest, eugenics programs.
Yeah. I countered with my mother at that time was still alive, and she suffered from Parkinson's. She was locked in her body. And I said, she has made a deliberate decision that she will not take any drugs that come from aborted babies. There is a worldview of difference. It's not the circumstances. It's not the circumstances in which one finds himself. It is the worldview he brings to those circumstances. So, men cannot be good without God.
Yeah.
Period.
Yep. Okay, friends, we're just about done with this edition of the program. But again, as we fly through the brave new world and once again visit the what's happening within the bars of the zoo or the asylum, again, here's a story that'll blow your mind and encourage you not to have children nearby because this one is rough. But it goes to parents. Anybody's watching television, any television at all, if you have any cable anywhere, I'm here to tell you, you got to have a heads up on what's going on out there, all right? And here's the heads up. And by the way, NAMBLA, National Association of Man Boy Love, the pedophilia organization, should be thrilled. The Sandusky Gymnasium people, the Sandusky Association of America is going to be very happy with what's happening here, friends. Okay? Here's what's happening. The Greeks would be thrilled. The pagans would be thrilled that something's coming back here. ABC Family. This is a family channel. Okay? Everybody needs to understand. ABC Family Channel is owned by Christian Broadcasting Network, CBN. And it was sold to Disney. Okay? Now, here's what they're doing. Anybody want to know what ABC Family Channel is doing? They've got a program called The Foster. And they aired the youngest ever homosexual kiss between two 13-year-old boys. Takes my breath away for just a moment. I tell you, this is frightening. This is frightening. The guy who produced the program, Peter Page, tweeted his excitement at the scene immediately following the broadcast. Youngest same-sex kiss in U.S. television history. So excited. I don't know if he's a card-carrying member of the National Association of Man Boy Love, but this is the kind of thing they're into.
Yes.
This is what they're into.
And it's the first ever. Okay. Remember the first ever lesbian kiss was by Ellen DeGeneres on TV. She is now the producer of a new show on USA that's airing this week for the first time called One Big Happy. And its best friends, Lizzie and Luke, are like family. They've grown up together, but Lizzie, who is a lesbian, wants to raise a child with Luke at her side. Then one night, Luke falls for Prudence, a free-spirited British girl who's due to go back to England in a matter of days, so they get married. So we've got Luke with the lesbian Lizzie, who has now fathered a child with her.
Yeah.
And he's now married to Prudence, and they all live together. This is Ellen DeGeneres who's producing this and is being touted as cutting edge.
And Ellen DeGeneres has been on the forefront of a lot of this. And, again, we're instructed in scriptures not to have fellowship with the untrue force of darkness. I encourage you, friends, not to dwell on any of this. Except to say, friends, you got to understand, this is just sick. This is just sick. This is Disney. Okay. This is the Family Channel. Okay.
This is not Brave New World. This is Disney World.
This is Disney World.
It is now the Brave New World.
Yep.
And they're coming for your kids.
Throw your television sets away is my best advice. Throw them away. Cancel your cable. Cut the cable. Use your dish as a barbecue. you know, it's time to
cut the umbilical cord.
It's time to point out the wickedness. Now, you see, you start watching television, and you're going to wind up eventually on the Family Channel. Your kids are going to be watching the Family Channel. They're going to be watching the absolute worst possible programs that are aired on the Family Channel and Disney. Now, I've warned people about Disney before. I've taken probably more persecution on Disney than anything else. Christians especially have really distanced themselves from me because I've taken a position against Disney and their NAMBLA-like, pedophilic encouragement of things like homosexuality for 13-year-olds. Okay, I've taken a stand against this, and I've taken a lot of flack for standing against Disney and the Disney Family Channel, but I'm here to tell you, friends, if you're going to salvage your kids, you really want your kids in the gymnasium involved in pedophiliac activities or homosexual activities or fill in the blank of whatever's next in this brave new world of deviance, you really want that? Is that your goal? Is that the thing you're going to get behind? Are you way more behind Disney than Christ?
Okay, this from my dad this morning. He said there's 700 registered sex offenders in the little city they live next to. Out of 75,000. He's sort of amazed that about 1% of the population are sex offenders. I'm not. Because sexual deviance gets more prevalence in a sexually deviant culture. Does that make sense at all?
The more you promote something, the more you're going to get of it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
We did that very thing. We looked on the sex offender list in our town, no longer a little town, when we first moved there, and we were surprised and shocked to see how many within walking distance of our house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Were registered. Yep. Now, some of these are you know, the registry is a broad brush, but so there's some of them that really don't deserve to be considered sex offenders. However, there's a significant portion that are there, and it's a growing list because we are pouring more and more pornography into our eyes. We are breaking down the barriers with One Big Happy and with Disney, and we are beginning to accept that the world's definition of love. We just want to love one another. Why would you refuse marriage to those who just love each other?
The society that has just embraced the fornicating lifestyle, which, by the way, is what was happening in television in the 1970s and 80s, will give birth to a society that is immersed in homosexuality, which gives birth to polyamory, which gives birth to other forms of sexual deviance, which gives birth to a registered sex offender list that is about 1% of your, no, make that 5%, no, make that 10%, no, make that 25% of your neighborhood. Friends, this is what happens in a world that is immersed in sexual deviance promoted by Disney and the Disney Family Channel. So again, here's the challenge. Do you really want your 13-year-old boys perverted and violated? Really? I'm talking to Christian families here. It could be the non-Christian families are good with it. But I'm just talking to Christian families. Do you really want your 13-year-old boys perverted and violated by a television show, or maybe even the real thing at a public school or a public gymnasium, as constructed by the Greeks? Is this really what you want? Come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's the verse that sticks in my mind at this point. And if anybody should stumble one of these little ones that believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he be drowned at the bottom of the sea.
PFLAG is often invited into public schools to present their programs about how homosexuality is just an alternative lifestyle. PFLAG is parents and friends of lesbians and gays. But if you and I showed up in our, you know, jeans and boots and said, hey, we want to talk about homosexuality being a deviant lifestyle, do you think we would be accepted?
Would they allow us to crack the Word of God and turn to Leviticus or Romans 1? I don't think so. All right, my friends, it's a brave new world out there because it is a world of darkness that has abandoned Christ, the true light of the world. And may I encourage you back to the light of the world, which is Jesus. You'll find the story about Christ and his wonderful redemption, his light that he has brought to the world in the Gospels. I encourage you to that. And be sure to get our Bible study guides, much better than the Family Channel, way better than the Family Channel. Instead of doing the Family Channel, I encourage you.
But you set the bar pretty low there, Kevin.
Your kids, the book of Proverbs and Psalms and the Gospel of Matthew. We have these Bible study guides as part of our offerings. This is really the essence of this ministry. It's encouraging families to discipleship. And we have more and more abandoned media, friends. And the last 3 to 4 months, we've spent, I'd say, 8 times, 10 times more time listening to sermons and reading the Word of God than we do messing around with pagan videos, films that have no profit. And I encourage you, spend your time with your kids in the Word of God. Get our family Bible study guides at our website, KevinSwanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down the vision for the next generation.